All right, Tyler, bring us in.
I don't know what to, I don't know. I got nothing.
How about this? How about some of this? Okay, just kidding. Let's give it a shot.
You want to use this?
There it goes. So it's playing, and none of y'all can hear it because it's hooked directly into my headphones and the sound system.
Yeah, we're really.
But I can't
we're
stop
really,
this feeling right now.
We're jamming right now.
Are you hooked on a feeling?
Are you jamming over there, Adam?
Yes.
Girl, you just don't realize.
I just want to hear that ooga chaka.
That's what's going on right now. You're doing it perfect right now.
Oh, blue sweet. Oh, sweet.
I think so.
There it is. All right.
Are we good now?
Yes.
Are we good?
All right. So it's a special edition
1974
of the Nerdcast here. It's our Oscar episode.
Hooray.
I feel like I need more sound effects now that we got that all hooked up.
Bum, bum, bum.
We should have had the camera rolling, though, for my first experience with that audio in my ears. I don't think I'll ever hear anything again.
That would have been a million hits on the YouTube.
Yeah.
All right. So big news tonight, followed by some Guardians of the Galaxy talk, obviously. That's why we were hooked on a feeling.
You were hooked on a feeling. We were just sitting in silence.
Okay. Sorry. Yeah, I need to get the speakers.
We got the sound of silence. You got the hooked on the feeling.
And, of course, it's Academy Awards. Let me say that again. It's the Academy Awards this weekend.
I feel like there's a lot of buildup for that.
So we will be making our picks, and I think the offer on the table, the probably literal table as well, is a box of donuts for the person that gets the most accurate picks here.
Yeah.
So Bob can go ahead and get his donuts now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that's not fair.
Bring them on.
All right. So it's the Nerdcast with Adam.
Hi, everybody.
Tyler.
Hola.
Bob.
I want some donuts.
All right. We have Aaron like here as well.
Hey, Aaron.
And myself, Iggy.
Iggy.
With a special edition. Nerdcast Season 3, The Search for Season 2. I'm looking directly at Tyler as I say it. Welcome back, everybody. So let's just get right into it. The big announcement. So it's pretty much we have so many announcements right now that I'm like just holding, building up that we have to spread out. But our big one is...
Oh, for the love of God, what's the announcement?
It's just the newest convention that we will be attending for our 2014 Pro Nerd Tour.
Dun, dun, dun!
Tyler, do you want to...
For the second year in a row, we'll be at the Denver Comic Con in Denver, Colorado. Not the other Denver.
That's a clever place for it. Right?
I'm telling you. Which I can honestly say, of all the ones are you listening to the song again?
He's back.
Oh, sorry. Okay, go ahead.
Was that playing through the thing?
No, just for right after your announcement.
Fair enough. Back in Denver for Denver Comic Con, which I think for everyone, at least on Pro Nerd who attended, was... One of the better experiences we had last year on our Pro Nerd
Tour. It was.
Met a lot of really cool people. I did some really amazing interviews, saw some great panels. I mean, everything about it. And, like, the crowd there was intense. It's only the second year that it had been running.
Rabid.
There was people wrapped around the city of Denver waiting in line to get in and didn't get in, which I feel bad about. I've heard they've capped attendance
this
year.
True, though.
They've capped it. So because of
capped at 75,000.
Because of how big it was last year.
Is that all?
That's it. Only 75,000.
And I mean, we met a lot of cool people. First time we met up with the Crit Success guys who make the sweet dice rings, of which I have one, and it's awesome.
Yeah.
I also have one.
I need to get another one.
I'm pretty sure I got one.
I mean, we all got one. I'm just.
I know. I just wanted to brag about it, too.
Than yours.
Mine
yes
says
no.
Yes, no.
Yeah.
It's
mine has
parent.
Attitude.
It's the
what
parent
did you guys even
ring.
Get? Because I got an actual dice ring that may or may not be used in an RPG game, and I think everyone else got like,
I got an alignment ring.
I got I got attitude.
And you got what? Yes, no.
Well, I'm a parent.
I feel like everyone got the rock paper scissors lizard Spock one.
Yeah,
I got the.
I think
fudge.
Marcus got that one.
Really?
Yeah,
I know Kanan got rock paper lizard
yeah
Spock. I got the fudge one. The -4 up to +4.
Right.
Which is awesome. So,
but it'll be our first convention to be set up a little bit differently too. We'll be in two locations there.
You won't be able to get away from us at Denver. You'll be running into us all the time.
Two locations. We'll have a booth with the product, Art of Marcus Gilbert in tow, all the fun stuff. And then we will also be set up at Podcast Peak doing this all day, all weekend. We may not have to record another episode the rest of the year.
I'm excited that we have a separate booth.
Lozenges.
I'm excited that we have a second booth this year, mainly because we can finally launch the idea that I wanted to do last year, which is each day have a matchup or versus of the day. We're going to get a whiteboard, maybe have Marcus draw something, have people vote on who they want to be. I have a sign that says blank versus blank. So, like, you know, Deadpool versus Deathstroke or something, and invite you
Wade
to come.
Wade versus Slade?
No.
Wade versus Slade. Like, I'm just throwing stuff out here, you know, something like that.
I like it.
You sit down in the chair with us. You just walk by. You see us. Hey, come sit down. Tell me why. Who wins who. Put some check marks. We'll have a champion. It'll be fun.
I like it.
That's a good idea.
Yeah. I want to hear why the attendees at Denver Comic Con think that Deadpool would beat Deathstroke.
Because he came afterwards?
Well, because he would win, I'm just saying. I don't know. Right. They're both pretty intense, actually. So I think Deadpool would probably lose.
Denver Comic Con. It's exciting.
Denver Comic Con. I'm excited. I won't be there.
We will
I'm
be
excited.
Hooked on a feeling the whole time.
You're not
time
coming this year to Denver?
Can't make it.
That's
loser.
Sorry.
The rest of us will be in tow, and we will also have Brandon Whetstone there, who can definitely fill in on the Nerdcast. He'll be Adam's replacement for the weekend.
That's not going to be good. I'm going to lose my spot.
Probably.
Lose my spot. That guy's funny.
All right. So besides that, should I go back to the song?
There was a big trailer that got
dropped this week that Tyler wanted to make sure we spent some time talking about.
I mean, everybody wants to
make I want everyone to see that Iggy's the only one who has the headphones on right now, and he's just sitting over there like dancing to himself.
Little club boy dance here.
I got it down low in the background. So it's just perfect to talk about the trailer right now.
Okay. Good trailer.
So hopefully, if you're listening
copyrighted
to this,
music, by the way, probably gets booted from iTunes.
Hopefully, if you're listening to this, you've seen the trailer for Marvel/James Gunn's Guardians of the Galaxy, which looks to be pretty interesting.
It's going to be fun.
I mean, by far.
I think it's going to be fun.
Despite what, by far some of the more obscure Marvel characters yet to have been launched in a movie franchise.
Just don't call him a raccoon.
Well, how crazy is it that Marvel can just, right now, Marvel can be like, I'm going to put a movie out that has no characters that anybody has ever heard of, other than comic book fans, and people are like, crapping their pants about it.
Well, yeah, it's just because it has the word Marvel above it.
People were so shocked when they even announced that they were gonna kick everything off with like an Iron Man movie, because legitimately, before Robert Downey Jr. and that movie, Iron Man was
pretty obscure.
He was fairly, in the terms of, you know, comic books, was fairly obscure. Erin's over there shaking her because she still doesn't believe me.
She disagrees.
She likes to think that Iron Man was a way bigger deal before 2008 than he was. He wasn't.
He's a bigger deal than Guardians of the Galaxy.
That's what I'm saying.
Yes.
But even then, like, industry people were like, an Iron Man? Who the hell's Iron Man? Who's Tony Stark? And it's huge now. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously.
He's the money driver.
He's driving that train. Yeah. So. But Guardians of the Galaxy, and not only that, these are characters who were, you know, fairly meh characters throughout the Silver Age, who then got kind of rebooted in the mid-2000s.
Agreed.
Right.
And, I mean, people who do know who the Guardians of the Galaxy really only know them, like, 2008 on, like, Annihilation Conquest, the reboot on, and they don't even know them from the 70s and 80s.
Embarrassingly enough, I could fit into that. I mean, you know they're there. You know that title's been there and stuff, and I knew some of their names, but I don't know anything about
them. They pop up, you see the character.
Exactly.
Who they are. Like, people know who Nova is. They show Nova Corps, obviously, in the trailer. He's probably not going to be a character. People sort of maybe know who Star-Lord was, but, like, Rocket Raccoon, Drax the Destroyer, Gamora, Groot... I feel like the fact that the villain is going to be Ronan the Accuser, I mean,
right.
I feel like Gamora was a little bit more well-known just because she can be, even amongst
comic
a woman
book,
with not a lot of clothing on her.
Yeah.
There we go.
The most deadly woman in the universe, as she used to like to call herself.
Kali cosplay. She does a very good Gamora. Just putting
also,
it out there.
Karen, she's playing, who's she playing?
She's playing the Queen.
No, she's a character. I'm trying to think of her name now. I'm blanking. Who's also good. I mean, they're just a lot of fairly obscure characters in terms of. I mean, even amongst people who are probably comic book fans and even Marvel fans, like, a lot of people tend to avoid the cosmic Marvel part of the universe. The things that. Yeah. I mean, you're talking a lot about. I mean, if you go back and like read the books that lead up to the reboot of Guardians of the Galaxy,
Nebula.
There you go. You go back and read the book, because it was kind of the characters as we know them today, or as they're probably going to be seen in the movie, we're kind of rebooted with the Annihilation storyline that took place clear on the other side of the galaxy with Annihilation and Annihilus, and you have like Nova, and you have the Kree and the Skrulls, and you know, the Shi'ar. You have this. I mean, it's just a lot of really obscure stuff that, unless you're really deep into that cosmic part of the Marvel canon, you know, Galactus shows up, various Heralds of Galactus, Silver Surfer, Redshift, the Fallen One, just stuff that, like, you rank even to a fairly decent comic book fan would be like,
it's just too much to keep.
So there's some memes.
Was a big character. Yes.
There's some memes floating around that show various different images, but essentially the first image says DC says Wonder Woman's too difficult of a character, or too not well known enough of a character to make a movie about, and then Marvel's like, let's throw Rocket Raccoon.
I was reading an interesting thread on Reddit when they announced, when the trailer came out, and basically the gist of it was a GIF of Peter Quill / Star-Lord in the trailer doing the machine that flips off the bad guys, and basically the caption for it was, you know, this is Marvel to DC right now, you know.
Right. Essentially.
And then in the comic section, people were going on, it's like, and like people were like, well, obviously when this comes out, it's like, no. The truth is Marvel can legitimately sit in a room and just be like, what obscure comic book character are we going to throw out there today? And it works. And DC can barely string together a trilogy right now. Like, they're throwing Superman and Batman into a movie together just in hopes that they can do something with it.
And there's more negative people.
I know. Yeah, that's the crazy thing.
Stop it, DC.
I don't know what they need to do, if they need to do what Marvel did and, you know, gather up all their properties, create their own production company, let people who love movies.
They basically have their own production company. Warner Brothers and DC are
Feige, get an Avi Arad, get people who, you know, take it seriously, who are passionate about it, and what's that?
You get a lot of noise on
here. Okay, far. And get, you know, and do it. You know, make it start. Make a plan and start doing what you're doing. Because I feel like their few successes have been. I didn't see that happening. I mean, Batman Begins, the Dark Knight trilogy was crazy successful. I don't think anyone saw that coming.
Kind of shocked.
Batman Begins was shockingly successful. The Dark Knight took it to a whole new level.
Right.
And then they're just kind of left with this bag of money in their hands. Like, well, we had no plans for anything.
We need to make more movies. How are we going to make more movies?
And then they immediately follow that up with at best, underwhelming Man of Steel. It wasn't bad. It wasn't great. It was there.
Right.
Yeah.
Thor 2.
It's Thor 2.
It's Thor 2.
Yeah, but Thor 2 gets to back end, you know, everything awesome that's going on in Marvel.
So
we're not even talking about, like, Winter Soldier. We got that
Thor
in a couple weeks.
Just a really decent bridge. I mean,
they're making an Ant-Man movie, for God's sakes. I mean, it's not even a Hank Pym Ant-Man. It's the second Ant-Man.
No. Yeah. Liberace's playing Hank Pym, so before we let Tyler get too carried away, because there's tons of Marvel characters even that we could put in movies that are more popular. We're still waiting for that Deadpool movie, by the way.
Not happening. Not happening.
Let's talk about what we came here to talk about tonight, and that's
donuts.
The Oscars.
Bob's Donuts.
Bob's Donuts.
All right. So we wanted to really dedicate most of an episode to the Academy Awards, and I'm sure, as with everything, we'll have our side rants that take us somehow to politics and Justin Bieber.
Too long, can we play them off like they do in the Oscars?
We got a hook.
Now that we have the music,
we're going to wrap it up. Get one of those wrap it up signs.
The Oscar raps music.
Maybe I should have said that about Bob.
Bob.
Since it's movies.
I still feel bad having not seen. I need to see more of these to really make a good judgment call. Is there any movies, at least in the big categories, that you haven't seen yet, Bob?
No. Sure, no.
Okay. Fair enough.
Bob wins.
I'm about 50% on just Best Picture alone, so I don't know how well I'm going to do.
Yeah, honestly, I've seen pretty much everything.
We did establish before this that we cannot speak well to the documentary short category.
Yeah.
So that category will probably end up being the tiebreaker on who wins what. So let's just go quickly through some of these I don't want to say more obscure awards, but your less popular awards. We'll start with achievement on the last page there. We have it all printed out. We're going to skip those screenplays because we'll come back to those right before Best Picture, but we'll start there with achievement in visual effects.
Mm-hmm. Pacific Rim.
Yeah, I was going to say, write in for Pacific Rim.
All right, gentlemen, settle down. So our nominees does not include Pacific Rim, but it is Gravity, The Hobbit, Iron Man 3, The Lone Ranger. Thank you. Star Trek, Into Darkness.
They jumped onto a moving train, too.
No, I believe.
Which we've only seen in like 27 other movies.
I believe about two episodes ago.
Had a horse galloping on a train and it was moving? No.
Yeah.
No.
I saw that in James Bond with a motorcycle. I
saw that in Wild Wild West, didn't
I? I saw that in James Bond with a caterpillar crane. With like yeah. A hook on it. Come on, let's be honest.
All right, so no James Bond, no Del Toro's Pacific Rim. What are we liking here?
No,
in
James
the...
Bond was a year before.
I know, but I'm just saying there's because we were talking about it. It's not here.
Examples. We're talking examples.
Cinematography in Sky.
So visual effects. Where are we going?
Gravity.
Gravity's a lock.
I think that's.
I'm gonna have to agree with that one. Adam, are you gonna try to? You gonna take a dark horse here?
I don't like any of them. None of them jump out at me as like these are amazing visual effects. I mean,
really?
Gravity?
No.
Right. Probably is the only one, but if I pick it, then you know.
Hey, we did cool things on a Starfield.
Well, I think as Tyler said it best in a whole segment we cut in one of the earlier episodes that went like an hour and a half long was he said it's you know with Star Trek and Iron Man it's like they're good but it's nothing more than they've done with their previous movies.
Yeah. Right.
The same with The Hobbit. Pretty much.
The new Hobbit had some interesting stuff in it. The problem is he's getting killed with his insistence on the 48 frames per second,
right.
And it makes the CGI look fake, not because it looks worse than any other CGI. It's because
you see so much more.
Well, right? It's not that you see much worse, and you deal with this when people complain about the, they call it the soap opera effect, the refresh rate on their televisions being so much higher.
Yeah.
It's we're conditioned to think movies are in 24 frames per second, and it doesn't mean it's good or bad. It means... I'm at the theater. I see something that should be in 24 frames per second. That's what I think movies look like. And when you run at 48 frames per second, especially if you see it in a theater, it looks wrong. It looks fake. It looks too real. And it's – I think people just have to get reconditioned to – I'm not saying it looks bad. But there were parts of the
– I couldn't find the Oscar music, Adam. I'm sorry.
That's right. I just say the CGI, you watch those.
They're using Jaws music.
It's distracting how much more real some of that CGI looks than the real actors on screen because of that 48 frames per second.
I wonder if I still have that Arnold sound effects thing.
I'm
going to
go with the Dark Horse. I think I'm going to take The Hobbit. I think they're doing some interesting things there, and I think the Academy could get past the 48 frames per second.
Already gave the Lord of the Rings its one Oscar. I think they're done with that.
No. See, these are the...
visual effects. That's
right. These are the smaller ones.
Oh.
I'm going to second Adam there.
Yeah.
All right.
All right. I'll take your donuts.
So three
too.
Votes for Gravity, two votes for The Hobbit.
I got a pen.
I think Bob's writing it all down for all of us.
For all of us?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
Bob's on it.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Okay. So moving on, we're just going to go into sound mixing. Gravity once again is nominated, but Captain Phillips, The Hobbit again, Inside Llewyn Davis, and Lone Survivor. Anybody? Well, no, Bob saw Lone Survivor.
I saw Lone Survivor.
My dad saw Lone Survivor.
A lot of people said
good
things.
Very good. That one, a lot of times you usually see that a music... film. Usually wins.
Davis, yeah.
I mean, but I think Gravity's going to win it. It's just I mean, the fact that you saw so much stuff that really didn't have sound, where you just got that muffled kind of tone, like when they're bumping into each other or ships are exploding. You're not seeing the exploding, but you're just getting that sonic thump. I mean, that's something I've never heard before in a space film, and it's just kind of different, and I really like that, so I'm going to go with Gravity on that.
I am glad that Star Trek Into Darkness did not get nominated in this category due to the sheer amount of sound that played while they're flying through the vacuum space in suits.
Well,
I was really into that movie, and I hate being that guy who's like, oh, this is technically inaccurate, and now my suspension of disbelief. I really do. I don't like being that guy. I like to let myself get immersed in the movie. That sequence, though, when they, you know, do the little human bullet from one ship to the other, that really jarred me out of the film. I got to be honest with you.
All right, so
I'd say Inside Llewyn Davis.
I'm also going to go with Llewyn Davis.
The beginning of it was really... I didn't get past the beginning of it, unfortunately. I won't disclose anything about that, but I don't know. With sound mixing, I have some weird feedback. Speaking of sound mixing, we're not doing a good job this episode, I guess.
Stop playing with your cell phone.
I'm trying to download a soundboard.
Hey, are you still plugged into the board while you're downloading the soundboard? Okay.
All right. I'm on. right.
Get with it, Ziggy.
Are you giving us
Get with it, Ziggy. Come on, buddy.
Who do we all vote for, then?
I'm waiting for you who you voted for.
We've got so far...
I haven't seen Captain Phillips or Lone Survivor, and I didn't get to see all of Inside Llewyn Davis, so it's hard. I'm going to go with Inside Llewyn Davis, I guess, since that seems to be the hot pick here.
Aaron, what do you think?
Yes, we're getting your vote for every...
Do I have to vote? Because I don't have a clue.
Just pick a random
plants
one.
Plants are getting eaten alive.
Considering the fact that I've seen The Hobbit, I'm going to go with The Hobbit again.
All right.
So...
Now go back to your plants.
Zombies,
zombies
everywhere.
You know, for Aaron knocking so much on Peter Jackson's...
Notice, but we did.
For Aaron knocking so much on Peter Jackson's movie, she's put them for winning two awards already, two for two, so... Oh, yeah, because a director would have nothing to do
director.
With everything.
The producer has nothing to do
right.
with people who do those jobs.
All right, achievement.
Peter Jackson has nothing to do with sound editing.
So we're going to stay in sound, and I have a feeling Aaron's nominee here is going to be similar. So achievement in sound editing. No, can anybody explain what the difference between sound mixing and sound editing is for the achievement?
I think sound mixing is like using, you know, like using your... Making the little sound effects. I think sound editing is just putting the whole thing together.
Okay.
I think Bob was just making that up.
I think I did.
Sounds reasonable to me.
All is lost.
Let's roll with it.
Captain
I don't
Phillips.
I think that that's right, but I don't know enough about Academy Awards to make a judgment on that.
All right. All is lost. Captain Phillips, Gravity, The Hobbit, and Lone Survivor. Lone Survivor getting a lot of love for sound here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's all. That's the only love it got.
A lot of gunfire.
A lot of gunfire.
It's hard to get that stuff just right.
All right, so what are we going with in sound editing? Aaron's got The Hobbit again?
Yep.
Yep. That was a yep if it didn't come through on the mics.
This is thrilling radio, I just want to say.
Yeah. All right.
Well, I would say Gravity.
Can we just skip to the exciting part?
We will.
We'll remove it
That's
quickly.
That's what the Academy Awards does.
Remember, the first 3 hours are boring. You get all the small awards, and then the last 2 hours are the bigger ones, so...
I feel like we can produce our podcast better than they produce the Oscars, though. Like, you narrow that down.
Tyler will be doing a production.
I'll go with Gravity also.
Yeah.
Do we need like a musical number between each of the like boring categories or something like that?
Blame Canada.
Maybe some
blame
maybe
with Robin
some
Williams.
Some celebrity, some presenters, in memoriam sequence.
All right.
Ooh.
Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Teary-eyed.
I'm gonna go. Santa, I don't even know. I'm just. Making it up as I go along here. Let's go with Gravity. Let's do that. Fair
nice.
Enough.
Okay, everybody but Aaron
went with Gravity. Aaron went with The Hobbit again.
Yeah,
she's gonna end up winning. We're all gonna.
Oh, so we're gonna skip. Are we skipping live action short film?
I feel like any category that has three titles that I don't know if anyone of us can actually pronounce.
Well, let's. I was gonna. Oh my.
Here we go. On the. We'll come back
Lord.
To after the recording.
Oh my god, that is a weird one.
These will be off air awards that we'll nominate. So we'll come back to best live action short. We'll come back to best animated short.
Oh.
And we'll do, short documentary. We'll take care of all those off because nobody wants to listen to those anyways.
Just like on the show.
Mm-hmm.
Achievement in production design.
American Hustle.
All right. So the nominees are American Hustle, Gravity, The Great Gatsby, Her, and 12 Years a Slave. Ooh, production design.
That's set. Nothing. Yeah,
that's
set.
A really good, that's
Gatsby.
The really stat category.
Yeah.
I'm going American Hustle, though.
American Hustle.
Their,
all right.
Their ability to evoke that period of the 70s was fantastic.
It was.
I don't know. Great Gatsby.
I got to go with Gatsby, though.
I got to go with Gatsby, too.
Visuals were stunning on it. I can almost guarantee you, even though she's left the room and her plants are going crazy over there on her iPad. Gatsby as well, probably from Aaron. I'll let her actually give her vote, but I can say that's going to be stacked that way. I see that as a – I mean, is it its only nominee?
No, it's nominated in costumes, I think.
Oh, okay.
The other one it'll probably win.
All right.
It's also going to get my vote in costumes, too.
Yeah.
Because Amy Adams.
All right. And inner side boob. All right. Achievement in music written for motion picture. So original song for
Oh, there's
movie.
Aaron right there.
Happy for in Despicable Me 2. Let It Go, Frozen. The Moon Song, Her. Ordinary Love, Mandela, Long Walk to Freedom. Before we vote, have y'all seen Frozen yet?
No.
I've not seen it, but
yes.
I have heard the music.
The music, so the music, it feels like, and I was trying to explain to Aaron, it's like you get these powerful songs and these choruses that are like, oh, these are like 90s Disney songs that are going to just you know, sweep the awards and stuff. Everything. And then you get into the just the verses, and it's like, I never liked the cold anyways, like, and or Jinx, like, they say Jinx in the middle of the damn song. Are you serious? Like, Jinx, you can't talk?
Iggy's a little upset about the Frozen soundtrack.
It's cold never bothered me anyway.
Oh, sorry.
And it's just like a musical. That's what they do in musicals, and it's an authentic musical, so I'm totally fine with it.
So are you voting for Frozen for music?
I don't know yet.
Well, okay. All right, I did want to put that 2 cents in, and it did frustrate me. That was part of that's. I felt like the whole movie was that way, though. It's like it had all this potential for stuff and just didn't deliver in certain areas, just dragging it down.
I feel like you, in this category, you bet against a Disney theme at your own peril.
Yeah.
I love that song, Happy.
I like.
I know. Despicable Me 2, the movie, it's okay. That song is
just makes you just anxious.
I know.
The thing is, that movie came out. That movie came out in July. And right now, Happy is like the number one song on iTunes.
It's a super popular song. Yeah. There's a website
that
just plays
a lot
the song
to it,
like 24 hours a day.
Pharrell Williams with his goofy Dudley Do-Right hat at the Grammys.
I was thinking more Ranger Rick, but okay.
I am just kind of moving and jamming to that song whenever it comes on.
Pharrell Williams can do no wrong.
But Let It Go. I mean, I've watched the movie and I've listened to the song several times. I really like it. Ordinary Love has actually been winning a lot of the best song awards from different groups. It's a good song. It's by U2, but it's kind of substandard U2. The only way it's going to win is because U2.
I'm a big fan of Karen O. I just don't see the Moon Song coming in here. We even own the soundtrack for Where the Wild Things Are. Karen O did the whole soundtrack with Spike Jonze, and that's why I'm pretty sure that's why he brought her back for her. I'm going to go. It would have been a toss up for me between Let It Go and Happy. I don't like Let It Go because of what I was just complaining about. And that now hearing, I didn't realize Happy's still at the top of the charts. I'm going to have to lean that way. I think more and more popular songs have been winning. The Muppets won last year with Britt McKenzie.
Britt.
So I say I wouldn't be surprised to see Pharrell win with Happy.
I think I'm going to go with Happy.
I'm going to go ahead and go with Let It Go. As much as I like Happy, you bet against the Disney theme song at your peril.
Much as I love Happy, I think Let It Go is going to get it.
I mean, honestly, if given my choice, every year I would just continue to vote for
Blame
It's
Canada.
Hard Out Here for a Pimp.
I was going to go with Blame Canada just so you could see Robin Williams sing it every year.
Falling Slowly from Once.
Oh, yes.
If I could just vote for that song every year, I'd be totally
that and Skyfall.
Oh, yeah, Skyfall. But no, Once is one. Oh, my God. Yeah. Falling Slowly. It's my jam.
All right. So staying with music, we'll say original score, The Book Thief, Gravity, Her, Philomena, and Saving Mr. Banks. And not seeing the last two, I don't know. Yeah, Her won't win, but the music in Her, especially the score, really sets the tone for that movie perfectly.
I just think Gravity's. I mean, it's such a
think so.
It's such an interesting score.
You can't win everything, Bob.
It's not.
That's right. It can't win best.
It's not going to win production design.
I'm going to go with. I don't know. Do you go with the Disney movie again? I'm going to do it. Saving Mr. Banks. I don't think it has a chance.
Just very pedestrian.
You're a pedestrian.
Music there.
I don't know. I haven't seen the movie.
You know what? Since Tyler's going for it, I'm going to go with Her then. I'm going to go, since I said it was my favorite, I'll put Her.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Saving Mr. Banks. I feel like some Hanks.
Donuts are getting so close.
I don't have anything to do with it, but come on.
All right.
Bob, did you?
I'm going Gravity.
All right, Ron.
What do you think?
Original score, Aaron.
Her. Awesome. That was an amazing score.
All right.
All righty.
Echoed my thoughts. So,
I feel like we need to have a different, we need to have two, I don't want to, but we should have two shows. If we pick the winners, this one should win, and then we should have another one, this is what's actually going to win.
we can say what's actually going
to win. I started out being I think this one's going to win, and now I'm more to I just want that one to win.
So achievement in makeup and hairstyling. So not just makeup, but makeup and hairstyling. I think our favorite here, of course, is Jackass Presents Bad Grandpa, the Academy Award nominated Jackass Presents Bad Grandpa. Dallas Buyers Club and The Lone Ranger, another nominee for The Lone Ranger.
Dallas Buyers Club wins this one in a walk.
Dallas yeah. Club. I don't know. Having a black bird in your hair and your, I mean, that's that's phenomenal
if
makeup.
Anybody tries to defend the Lone Ranger for
anything. Did any
anything.
Of the, I mean, I doubt any of you guys know this off the top of your head, but did any of the Pirates of the Caribbean get nominated in this category?
Nominated, yes.
Okay, I'm just curious.
I actually think they won one.
Way better in those movies than it was in.
Yeah, I actually think they won one. Yeah. I think it was the
like,
first
Lone
one.
Lone Ranger had some actually pretty impressive, like, you, know,
you mean
and hair and stuff
Pirates?
Like
yeah.
Pirates. What did I say?
Pirates. Lone you Ranger. Said Lone Ranger.
Pirates of the Caribbean, the whole series that had some really interesting stuff they did with some of the pirate characters,
right.
I felt like. So
I'm gonna agree with, it sounds like everybody's on the same page with this one, Dallas yeah. Buyers Club. I don't even think the Academy even probably bothered with Jackass Presents, and, well, nobody bothered with the Lone Ranger.
It was
so.
Really good in Jack. I mean, I got to be honest, have seen the movie now. A buddy of mine got it. We watched it the other night. Way, way better than I expected it to
yeah.
be.
It really is.
It's
actually
really
is.
Pretty entertaining.
It would have
the,
to be.
The
probably.
Issue with it is there's like, it's one of those things, anytime they do one of these like vignette style where it's like, you know, like episode to episode, there's parts of it that work really well and there's parts of it's like,
but
I
yeah, but at least they had some type
they,
of a story.
There is a
that,
story that's, there's a through fare there. Like there's something being, you know,
yeah,
in
the
middle and end. But at the same time, like there's parts of that movie that, I mean, anytime you go over the top and,
yeah.
stunty and raunchy, you're going to
exactly.
get those laughs. Like,
right.
you're going to make someone laugh, regardless if you're going to laugh the second time around. But it was way better than it had any right to be.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
I agree.
All right. We're going to skip over foreign film. I don't think any of us have seen those, sadly enough. Typically, on good
usually
years, I usually
good.
See.
I, the only thing I have to say about foreign film is, and I'm reviewing it now, Blue is the Warmest Color was not nominated in this category. It actually was not shut out of
which
all
is,
the awards.
Which is weird because at the festivals...
It won Cannes Film Festival, it won Palme d'Or, and I believe it won... It both female leads won Best Actress.
Yes.
So it really is kind of surprising that it did not get any love
I
here.
Know.
I have an idea why. I just don't know if the Academy could get into 10, 12-minute sex scenes, but... I don't know. I can't explain.
All right. Achievement in film editing. I wonder where Tyler's leaning in this one. Aaron's already yelling Gravity. American Hustle, Captain Phillips, Dallas Buyers Club, Gravity, 12 Years a Slave. Film editing. I got
Gravity.
It. Gravity.
I'm going to go with... That's a tough call. I don't really want to go with American Hustle again, but it was... As much as I enjoyed every minute of that movie, there were definitely chunks about the three quarter of the way.
The pacing
part,
was
where
really
I started, like checking my watch. Like,
yeah, the pacing was really slow.
When I do that, like I realized, okay, now there's
and that's why Gravity I think is going to win. The pace of that movie was
yeah.
just.
I'm
going
to
so...
go. With, I feel like I'm going to have to go with Gravity on that one. That's the one I'm not going to let American Hustle have. So,
I'd agree. A couple of movies on there are the pacing was better, but even so, the editing, the Gravity, I think is pieced together nicely. All right, let's go to Best Documentary Feature. Are we even going to go down the list? I think it's a
Act
clear winner. The Act of Killing has won everything. Best Documentary. They
have
won
actually
Best
seen,
Movies of the Year.
Have actually
some
seen
categories.
One movie on this list, and it is The Act of Killing. And yeah, that's a no brainer.
I did not like that movie.
Okay, well that's dumb.
I think it's such a bizarre film, and I think it's going to be. I mean. Yeah, the Academy will have this special group that will, you know, view these and do the voting.
And I'll give you one reason why it's going to win. If not only because I thought it was fantastic, but and it's winning.
No, that's why it'll win because Tyler.
Well, I'm just
it
saying
fantastic.
It is. I thought it's really good, and you said critical acclaim. But
yes.
One reason why it wins, and that is Werner Herzog.
Yeah,
and if Werner Herzog
that would be.
Has
the, I mean, it has notoriety.
You're going to win,
but I think.
Have you ever gone on YouTube and looked up, and it's a guy doing a voice impression of him, but it's Werner Herzog reads like Dr. Seuss.
Yes.
It's brilliant. Like, it is just this guy does this. He also does a Where's Waldo, and it's so funny. It's this guy doing this Werner Herzog voice. I do not like the. Oh my God, it's so good. Where is Waldo?
Anyways, thank you, Tyler.
I'm just saying.
I'm going 20.
I like Werner Herzog.
I'm going 20 Feet from Stardom. I think it's.
Really?
Yeah. I think it's definitely lighter than.
There goes Bob's Donuts.
Act of Killing.
Oh, and this is a gimme. This is the most.
But
this
I think
category that you could say is the most clear winner in. next to, what was it, makeup, because nobody wanted it. This is like, there is, The Act of Killing has won, like, at award shows, has won best film of the year, even.
Which award shows has this been?
It has, in its category, or in its listing, it has, I think, over 20 best documentaries and at least
from film festivals,
best film,
critic guilds. We're talking the Academy voters. We're talking people who
it's been nominated so far 71 times for various awards, and it has won 60 of them.
That's pretty good return.
Well, I'm going to still go 20 feet from star.
All right.
If that is going to keep me away from my donuts, so be it.
Let me try to find something that would. I mean, a lot of these are foreign awards that they've won. I'm trying to find something that's big. Independent Spirit Awards have not happened yet.
Next
until
week.
March. I'm trying to find big award shows here.
It was it Entertainment Weekly too called it the best movie of the year?
Los Angeles Film Critics Association gave it runner up. So that that might blow you off it a little bit. Did it win the Golden Globe? Do they give a Golden Globe for best documentary?
No.
I don't remember Golden Globe. I know in the Directors Guild it won. I know.
And what did I see? I saw Draft House is doing a they're doing a podcast or something online with
They did the Reddit thing today.
National Society of Film Critics, it won that one. That's a fairly big one.
For best picture overall, right?
Documentary.
No, best documentary.
Oh, okay.
Is there any that it won best film for?
Anyways.
Most of these are all best documentary awards.
Well, yeah. As a documentary, that's what's going to win a bunch.
The Dublin Film Critics Circle gave it Breakthrough of the Year for the director and number 3 on their best film list, but it was only nominated for best documentary.
Only nominated. Kind of
but yeah, I think Act of Killing wins that one in a walk.
Mm-hmm.
Werner Herzog. Just saying.
All right. We'll come back to director in the order on our sheet, but really quick. So costume design, American Hustle, Grandmaster, Great Gatsby, Invisible Woman, 12 Years a Slave.
American Hustle.
I can already say Tyler, Amy Adams.
You're damn right.
Mm-hmm.
I have to agree with Tyler on this one. I think the suits, the gowns, everything, it just...
I give Gatsby set design and have to go here. American Hustle for costume.
Adam. What do you got, Adam? What are you feeling?
He's got a grin, though.
I see everyone's going American Hustle. I was actually torn between Gatsby and 12 Years a Slave. Those period pieces, man, they're hard.
Well, you can call American Hustle a period piece, too.
Yeah, the 70s are a period.
I get that, but most people voting in the Academy were alive during that period of time. They would know.
They were also alive during the 20s for Great Gatsby, too.
Right, so they would know if something were,
yeah,
a little bit off. They wouldn't be able to get away with that.
I don't know. I don't know how accurate anything Baz Luhrmann does as far as period piece. I mean, yeah. It definitely evokes that. The Roaring
Excuse
20s.
Excuse me,
I don't
but
know
where
it really
where,
is the
when
Roaring
we get,
20s.
When we get Jay-Z doing the music, yeah.
These things happen.
It's inspired by and evokes the Roaring 20s in no way is an accurate portrayal of the Roaring 20s.
Yeah.
No.
But I was...
Are you picking Great Gatsby? Yeah.
Aaron picks Great Gatsby. I think I'm going to go 12 Years a Slave. I'm going to go out there.
Okay. Like where heads
there, at. There's my 20 feet from stardom boat right there.
Mm-hmm.
Cinematography.
Grandmaster, Gravity, Inside Llewyn Davis, Nebraska, Prisoners.
Gravity
in
a lock.
I think Gravity wants this one in a walk. I think the surprise one to get votes, if you want a dark horse in this one, is Nebraska.
Yeah.
And the reason is,
first of all,
it's fantastic, and it didn't get nominated for a whole lot of awards. Number 2, the Academy loves it when you film in black and white.
Yeah.
They love it. So, honestly, it needed to be filmed in black. Having seen it now, I can't. When people said it was in black and white, I thought it was an odd choice, and having seen it now. He does some really amazing, beautiful things with the use of black and white in that film.
Right.
But I can't imagine seeing it. I can't imagine it having been in color. I don't think it would have been.
It would change the film.
It
completely.
Film. And it was an interesting choice, and it was fantastic.
But Gravity, I mean, the first, what was it, 15 minutes of Gravity?
First, 20 minutes.
Yeah, is a single shot.
Yeah. That's hard to beat.
Yeah.
I mean,
and it's a fantastic shot, too. It's yeah. not, it's very well done.
Yeah. Everyone That's for gravity on that one, I
Aaron?
Think.
Yeah.
No.
Aaron shake. If in case you didn't see that, Aaron shook her head. Yes.
Yeah. For those that aren't watching, just listening. All right. So this one, I think is going to be. There's two in here, and I'm sure that most of us can see why one of them might take from the other. But animated feature film, The Croods, Despicable Me 2, Ernest and
Celestine.
Is it Celestine? I guess. Okay. Frozen and The Wind Rises. I think, well, Frozen's yeah. obviously your favorite, but Miyazaki announcing The Wind Rises well. Was his last,
yeah. yeah.
it's I his last picture.
And by the way, it opened this weekend and did decent in 20 theaters.
All right.
So
I think it's,
I'm actually going to go against the grain and we'll go with Ernest and Celestine.
Really?
It's really good.
I haven't seen it. I couldn't even
I
say
I just
it,
saw it
so
recently. It got added to streaming video and I watched it yeah. and it's.
The Croods is terrible. I'm going to say that. Anytime Nicolas Cage does voiceover acting, he has no range in it. He sounds terrible as a caveman. The movie itself would not be so bad if it wasn't for the voice acting in it. It is just disgustingly terrible. Like, yeah, it is annoying. And Despicable Me 2 was fun, but it wasn't even as good as the first. And it was all get kids excited about Minions, which doesn't win you awards. Get you money.
Get you a lot of money.
Yeah. I love my Minions.
But I think Frozen has just owned the box office. It was exactly what Disney needed at this time of the year, especially yeah. with a weak turnout from the Pixar movies.
Pixar needs to stop being a sequel machine.
Yeah, yeah. exactly.
Quit making planes.
But
if you're going to make a sequel, make a sequel to Incredibles, the one movie people actually want a sequel to.
Yeah, they're actually coming out with a plane sequel this summer.
Do what
yeah.
Disney yes. used to do.
Well, the planes was supposed to be straight to DVD series.
Yeah.
That's what planes was supposed to be. But why not cash in on it? And they made some money off of it.
Why? I just don't understand the sequel to Cars when they could have, like. Incredibles even ended with
set it up for another.
And keep making
superhero movie.
Who wanted another Cars movie?
Who wanted
Cars
the first
by,
Cars
up
movie?
Up to its point when
My
it came
nephew
out,
wanted another
Cars
Cars
was
movie.
The. I mean,
but
it was a merchandising
six.
Machine.
Yeah,
like it's still car stuff still
People
sells.
People love
like
that
it's
NASCAR.
But I just I up to when it came out, Cars was by far the weakest. And it's not a bad movie. I enjoyed Cars, but it is the weakest of all the Pixar movies
you
up to that point.
And,
then they, and that's the one, and that's the one you make a sequel to. And then Monsters University was meh at best.
It was okay.
I don't know.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Frozen cleared that, you know, the Pixar weakness of this year. But
I guess
it's got to be
but
everything.
I'll let you have both. I'll let them have both the Toy Story sequels.
I would go with Miyazaki on Wind Rises, but I don't know. Everybody is just so. Big on Frozen right now. I just have to go.
I think Frozen's going
to
win, but I'm going to put my money behind The Wind Rises.
Yeah,
I'm going to put my donuts behind The Wind Rises.
Yeah, Wind Rises.
And Aaron's going with it as well.
Ernest and Celestine.
All right.
God, am I the only one going for Frozen on that one?
Mm-hmm. Which is
we're giving you your donuts.
We're,
you're welcome,
we're giving
Bob.
You back your we're giving you back your
my 20 feet from.
All right. Stay on that page there because we're going back down to achievement and directing.
Let's do screenplay.
Oh, you want to go to screenplays
yeah.
first? All right, let's go back to screenplays first.
Back page, everybody.
So
rotate.
I want to do adapted first because I like to talk about original a little bit more. But adapted screenplay: Before Midnight, Captain Phillips, Philomena, 12 Years a Slave, and The Wolf of Wall Street.
That's a tough one.
That's a good group.
It really is. I know Writers Guild. Gave, I mean, because 12 Years a Slave wasn't nominated.
Really?
Yeah. Because I guess the screenwriter wasn't in the Writers Guild. Captain Phillips won.
That makes sense.
Phillips won adapted screenplay
really?
For the Writers Guild. Yeah.
Why is Captain Phillips getting so much love? I'm just going to go there before
Captain
we even
Phillips is,
get to
is,
the best picture.
It is an excellent film.
But
it
is. Seriously, like it's let's take something that happened just a few years ago, completely stretch it and twist it into this over-the-top drama.
You haven't seen it. You really have to see it.
I don't want to see it. That's
should.
The one I'm not going to watch on that list.
Yeah,
I've seen almost all of them. There's a couple that I wasn't able to get to because of whatever reasons, but Captain Phillips is one I have no interest in because it just, I was there. I lived it.
Yeah,
I read the news.
Don't be a hater.
I read the news, and that was before they, I'm not knocking on the the actual Captain Phillips himself. Not saying he didn't take care of the ship, but was he an over-the-top hero like they're making Tom Hanks to be on there? Like, he did what he needed to do to keep his crew alive and everything like that. But, like, I'm waiting for Tom Hanks to be stunt doubled by Jean-Claude Van Damme in this film. Like, that's what I'm worried about when I turn it on. Is he just going to jump out of there and start karate chopping people and knocking them off the side of the boat?
But that's the tone they're making. He's not in the film.
But that's the tone they're making it feel like. Like, this is just, oh, this guy's such a hero. And I feel like a jackass saying he's not, because, like I said, but at the same time, it's like, he's not an action hero. It didn't go down like that. Like,
and that's the whole idea.
Without giving too much spoilers, do they give the love to the Navy SEALs who went out there and, like, sniped those guys dead? Like, is there any love to them in the movie?
Yeah.
Okay. He had to think about it, though. He had to think about it.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Sorry. So side ran over.
Off your soapbox now.
Okay. Let me get down from here.
Okay. But this one.
This one's tough.
This one is really tough because before Midnight, they were nominated. That group was nominated for the first film.
I like Richard Linklater.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm first of all, maybe you guys know why Before Midnight. In adapted screenplay, is it
because it's based on characters from another film?
From another film, is that
yeah,
why?
That's
but
why
even so, then if that's the case, well, why is because they're fictional characters. It's the same thing as like Dallas Buyers Club, an original screenplay. Like I understand it's an original script, I guess, but
well, it's not based on like a book or something.
No, but yeah, it's based on the guy's life.
Well, I was just curious right. because,
but those are based on a screenplay.
Those are written by Linklater. And Delpy and
Ethan Hawke.
So it's based on
a screenplay.
Right. And there's another person who wrote the first one with Linklater, and since then they've because a lot of it's extemporized, a lot of it's they all write it together as a group, and then they go and they do it. I was just curious why it's an adapted. I feel like I'd really like that one to win to kind of if nothing else just as a.
Recognition of doing those three films.
Because that trilogy is
and they've
talked
that they – I've heard that they may even
– Do another one?
Down the line.
Just the fact that they've taken two actors, one director, one story, and followed these same two characters. Mm. I mean, the first movie came out, what, 20 years ago?
Over 20 years ago, yeah.
1995, I think. So, I mean, they've done one, and they did another one. And it's – they're really – if you watch them together, it's a really powerful story.
So who's winning?
Wolf of Wall Street.
Yeah, I think.
Well, you know,
because I don't think he's going to get anything else.
Well, you know, well, and I read an article today. The Wolf of Wall Street is picking up. It's building
steam a little
it
bit.
It is building some steam.
I think it's going to get there.
I don't know. 12 Years a Slave, I think, is an interesting pick, just because. I mean, it's based off an autobiography from the actual character.
Right.
It's been read and adapted and translated many, many times.
I watched a little bit of it to just because I wanted to see Fassbender and get enough of it to see there this weekend. But how far does it push the buttons for those of you that have seen it? Because at the same time, I want to say McQueen hasn't gotten he's gotten nomination love for his previous works, him and Fassbender. He always brings Fassbender back, but he hasn't gotten a lot of like, here's your award, because Hunger really pushes the limit with some things. Shame goes far beyond pushing limits of things. So does 12 Years a Slave, I mean, is it?
It's pretty.
Is it rough?
Yeah,
I guess
very. It gets very graphic.
It's very graphic,
and it's graphic. I mean, the thing is it's a very
rough.
It's got a lot of peaks and valleys in it. Like there's good and bad. Because like the story, if you know the story of the guy's life, like I'm just saying, like
you know, when you do that with the microphone, when you're doing the peaks and valleys with the microphone,
we can't hear you.
That.
It definitely like it. There's some really jarring stuff that then kind of levels out for a while. Nothing happens, and it gets rough again. But it gets graphic. But I think it's earned. I mean, like it earns its. It doesn't do it gratuitously. It's not a
right.
Jane
and it's a subject that's
it's
different.
A subject that's dark and pretty
right.
graphic, and
it's just the way it is.
It's very realistic. It's not a.
Yeah, it doesn't.
And it earns
the graphics there because it's part of the story, not because they want to push those envelopes.
You know, and
they're not trying to shock
you.
And they've said
in the past this is probably the most authentic filming of slavery. in any film ever.
So who? So y'all pick? Who picked Wolf of Wall Street?
I'm gonna go with.
I got Wolf of Wall Street.
Aaron's got her hand up too.
Actually, you know what? I'm changing. I'm gonna go 12 Years a Slave. Okay. I talked about it. I'm gonna go 12 Years a Slave.
So Adam and Aaron, Wolf of Wall Street, Tyler, 12 Years a Slave. What are you going with?
I'm gonna go 12 Years a Slave, and I have my reasons, and I'll tell them later.
I'll lean 12 Years a Slave. Because when you come down to those two, I don't think. I think Wolf of Wall Street got too much negative stuff around. And even if it was just a small group with the Academy, and we'll get there with the Best Picture nominee, I think it was enough to even if it is snowballing now, it slowed down the start of it. So it compared to some of these other movies, it's behind in snowballing is what I think. So original screenplay, American Hustle, Blue Jasmine, Dallas Buyers Club, Her, and Nebraska. American Hustle or Dallas Buyers Club, I think is what it comes down to, really.
I don't know.
I think Her has a chance.
Yeah. Really?
Her is probably the one. Her is the one that's been winning most of the
really?
Time.
Really? I think Nebraska.
Here's the thing. I don't think it's going to win, but this is the one category where I feel like I can actually vote for Nebraska and have a chance, so I'm going to go with Nebraska. I just really like it.
Adam, are you agreeing with that?
Well, I think original screenplay is the one category that can get a little outside of the big movies.
Mm-hmm.
The big movies almost always win director. They almost always win Best Picture, all the other major awards. But the original screenplay, you can have a great story that maybe isn't perfect in the telling.
It's always
the
one that's outside the box, yeah.
Right, yeah. So it's the one I think the Academy likes to go there. So I could see Her in Nebraska. And because I'd really like it to be Her, I'm going to go with Her.
All right.
Aaron? Her. She's so precise.
I'm going to go with Dallas Buyers Club here.
And I'm going to go with Her as well.
Of this group of movies.
It's really kind of strange because, I mean, American Hustle, everybody was just so high on that, you know, when it came out. They were talking about the screenplay and the acting and all that kind of stuff. And it's kind of lost its momentum. Blue Jasmine with Woody Allen with his issues. I don't think he's going to get.
All right.
Too much
going on to touch him.
So, achievement. We're going to go back around achievement and directing, and then we'll get. Or do we want to go to the Actors Awards before directing?
Directing. We can do directing.
Okay. So we're down to the big awards, the four acting categories, directing and Best Picture, obviously. Sure. Mm-hmm. So David O. Russell for American Hustle.
That rhymes.
Alfonso Cuarón for Gravity. Alexander Payne for Nebraska. Steve McQueen for 12 Years a Slave, Martin Scorsese, Wolf of Wall Street. All of these gentlemen. No, Cuarón never got nominated before, has he?
No.
So four of these five nominated before. All five this year, male again, which used to be a trend. And then I think we got off a little bit. We got some female directors here in recent years nominated. So five male directors.
Well, Catherine Bigelow.
Yeah, five big movies that all have been talked about for potentially winning the overall category even. So who do we like for director?
Cuarón. Alfonso Cuarón.
Yeah, I'm going to go Cuarón as well.
It took, 5 years to make that film, and it's such an intense.
If you can't give Scorsese a win for Goodfellas, you're not going to give it to him for Wolf of Wall Street. That's all.
Nah.
And Steve McQueen will get his award eventually.
He's getting better and better in terms of taboo subjects.
I think Alexander Payne gets one eventually as well.
Yeah.
I think it's Cuarón's to lose, so I think he probably gets it.
He's won everything else.
Yeah.
I'm going to agree with you guys on Cuarón. I think so.
And Aaron?
Yep.
So that's a sweep, at least for us.
That's our first one, I think.
Is it?
Yes.
It's been a sweep for him, so I think
all right. Fits. Actress in a supporting role, Sally Hawkins, Blue Jasmine, Jennifer Lawrence, American Hustle.
I'm excited about this one.
Lupita Nyong'o, 12 Years a Slave, Julia Roberts, August Osage County, and June Squibb, Nebraska. And I know where Tyler's going.
This is going to be in most of these categories coming up, I think there's the potential of splits. And so this is one of those categories.
First of all, who's your splits then?
I think Jennifer Lawrence and Lupita Nyong'o could split.
Okay.
And I think
who's
June
that opening
Squibb,
up for? Yeah. June Squibb? Okay.
She was phenomenal
in
that movie.
She's really good in that movie.
She's 86 years old. She's worked in Hollywood forever as a character actress. This is her first nomination.
I
don't know. I think it's too much love for Lawrence right now. I think she's going to get it.
But saying that, I think Lupita Nyong'o.
Okay. So Nyong'o for you. I got Lawrence, gentleman and lady. Let's just add some
Lawrence.
Silence here.
I'm going to go with Jennifer Lawrence. But I agree with him. I think June Squibb has a really good chance. And Lupita Nyong'o. But I'm going to go with Jennifer Lawrence as well.
All right. So Tyler rejoined us for a little bit there.
After the last one.
Yeah, I would too, except she did an amazing job in that movie. Gosh.
Yeah. I didn't like her as much in this one as I did in almost said The Fighter. That's two O. Russell movies ago. Sorry.
Silver Linings.
Yeah, Silver Linings Playbook. But she was fantastic in Silver Linings. Absolutely amazing. Yeah. And she's good in this, and the more you talk about certain scenes, it's like, yeah. But overall, I wasn't impressed with her as much as I've been in the past.
I haven't seen the movie again now. I'm more impressed. The first time through, I was like, she had her moments, but it wasn't great. Having watched it again now, I have a bigger appreciation for her role in that movie, and I think she did a really good job.
I mean, she's a victim of her success with Silver Linings, like, cause it blew everybody away. Yeah. So yeah. You're wanting to be blown
away. And people
want to
be,
and
she's in everything all of a sudden, you know? She went from this girl that no one's heard of who kills it in Winter's Bone to Katniss Everdeen, you know? So.
All right. So, and Adam went with Lawrence as well?
Yeah. Quite literally, so Aaron, the girl on fire. Well played, Adam.
All right, I didn't hear what Aaron said, but
there was a video on YouTube for Fandango where they did an interview with her and Josh Hutcherson,
mm-hmm.
and they did a game.
Aaron's favorite actor.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, I was saying it's Aaron's favorite actor,
Josh Hutcherson. Really? Oh, not a fan. Anyway, they were interviewing him, and they did a contest.
Added to the list.
The two of them were. They did a contest where they would ask each of them questions, and they had to guess ahead of time what the other one would say, like the newlywed game sort of thing. And she got really competitive about it and got every single one about him right. And at the end of it, she's like, she was so pumped. And she's like, I just never won anything. And Josh, there was that Oscar. And it just, like, his reaction and her reaction, it was a funny moment. Sorry. It just made me think of that.
By the way, Josh Hutcherson kind of sucks, but...
We're short on time. We don't have time to go off on Aaron right now.
Jennifer Lawrence was better in American Hustle than she was in Silver Linings. And honestly,
all right, you can give the microphone back to Adam now.
But I'm still going to go with Lupita for this one. I think she'll win.
All right, just because you wanted to say Lupita. Performance by an actress in a leading role now. So Amy Adams for American Hustle again. Excuse me. Mm-hmm. Cate Blanchett for Blue Jasmine. Sandra Bullock for Gravity, Judi Dench for Philomena, Meryl Streep. What nomination is this for Meryl Streep?
I don't know, 18th, but I think she's going to win.
18th? Seriously?
18th.
Wow. August, Osage County. So the problem is she doesn't have 18 wins. So even though she's in there, it's not like if Daniel Day-Lewis is in there, you know who to pick.
Yeah.
Meryl Streep, it's not that easy to go with.
She's really – her performance in that movie is powerful. That movie itself is not going to win much.
I know.
The problem is it's a play adaptation.
Yeah,
and
it's a three-hour play.
It plays like a play. It plays like an uncomfortable, over-the-top, you know.
And, you know, if you watch the previews, you think it's just a laugh-out-loud comedy about this goofy-ass family.
It is not.
It is the most intense.
It is uncomfortable to watch.
So before we go into picking, is Adams the only one in this category that hasn't won before? Judi Dench is one.
Yeah,
right?
That's right.
So
Adam's been nominated like 4 or 5 times,
but she
mostly
hasn't won.
Supporting.
Right.
Yeah, and she's won a supporting though, right?
No, never.
No, she's never
she
even
win for
won.
Junebug?
No.
Okay.
She was nominated.
Okay, so
I feel like she won for Junebug.
So who's winning? Who's winning here? Not a clue.
This
is what
one,
Aaron said.
This
is a tough one.
This one's Blanchett.
You think so?
I think Blanchett.
I haven't seen any love though for Woody Allen's movie though.
But
this year.
But her performance is so. Good.
We talked about this past week, though. We talked about all the publicity of Woody Allen, though, could be pulling her down.
It could, but her performance, like I said, it's not Woody Allen's luggage that's going to pull her down. I mean, her performance is so good. Compared to everyone else here, it's the best. I mean, it really is the best.
All right. Well, Bob's got Blanchett. Tyler.
It's a tough call. Amy Adams was really good. Meryl Streep. I'm going to go with Meryl Streep. I think.
All right.
I think they give it to her because her performance is.
It is
powerful as hell in this movie.
Okay.
Yeah.
Adam? I don't think a lot of people saw it.
No.
I think a lot of people saw it and were like, why did I sit through that? It's really good, but it's draining. It is. There's parts where you just want to shut it off.
There's a few of those.
Didn't want to watch. It is hard to watch.
There's a few of those this year. So, Adam, who we got?
Meryl Streep.
Erin said, nope, she doesn't have a clue. You going to throw a name out there?
Pick one of the five that's on there.
Okay, well, thank you for that.
Let's see.
But her dressed is.
You know, I love Cate Blanchett, so I'm just going to pick her based on because of the fact that I think she's awesome.
Okay. I'm going to go with one here.
Don't do it.
I think when the voters are going to look at it, it's so many great nominees on the board. They're going to say, "All right, Bullock carried the movie. This movie is getting all kinds of love. I'm going to go with Sandra Bullock for Gravity." Yeah, I think it's a long shot, but I think because it's so. But I honestly I think there's any one of these five could win.
I know Amy Adams won the musical comedy,
yeah,
Golden Globe for actress. Who won for
Cate Blanchett?
Cate Blanchett said, "Yeah, it's a tough call."
Yeah, I'm gonna go for it. This is my the act of killing or 20 whatever.
This is my 20 steps from
20 steps.
Stardom.
There we go. All right, so actor in a supporting role. Anybody want to go first name?
Barkhad Abdi.
Barkhad Abdi from Captain Phillips. Bradley Cooper, American Hustle. Michael Fassbender, 12 Years a Slave. Jonah Hill, The Wolf of Wall Street. Jared Leto, Dallas Buyers Club. Is anybody going to vote against Jared Leto here?
Right.
No.
I'm going to tell you why. And
because
I think he's
baller
not,
in that movie.
Not because I think he's not going to. Because I think Jared Leto's not going to win. Because I'm pretty sure Jared Leto's going to win. I want to vote just to the off chance. Because it's already fun enough to say twice Academy Award nominated.
Jonah Hill.
Twice Academy Award I want to be like, remember that one time Jonah Hill won an Academy Award for that movie where he was masturbating poolside? I need that to happen. that needs to be a thing that I'm able to say to people.
So first of all, you know, when you're sitting here talking and you're building it up for this, and my thought to you is because when you think of any person in that movie, you're like, that person carried that movie because Jonah Hill was phenomenal.
He's so good.
But Leo DiCaprio's good in. But anytime you think of somebody in that movie, I'm like, amazing. I wouldn't be shocked if he won for winning
that's
that.
The thing. He's
if there
really
wasn't
good in it.
If there wasn't Jared Leto for Dallas Buyers Club, he's got a good chance.
He's so good in
because
it.
Because his when
Jared
he comes,
Leto, Jared Leto obviously I think wins this one running away. Mm-hmm. But I'm gonna vote for Jonah Hill just in the off chance that he gets it, because I want to be able to say, yeah, I saw that.
And can I ask, I know, because Fassbender is his, everybody knows him from his Magneto roles, his bigger roles, but he is a phenomenal actor, especially in movies like this, like Shame and Fishbowl, and like Fishbowl, he's having an affair with his girlfriend's daughter, like it's just,
It doesn't. I honestly doesn't
terribly
really matter
creepy.
What he's in.
He's smearing
he's
shit
so
on the walls in Hunger in the jail cells. Like he's just.
I don't
he's
care.
Drawing shapes.
Even small roles. Like he had a very small role in what was the Spielberg War Horse.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He's very good in
it. Yeah.
He kills it in his scenes in Inglorious Bastards.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
He's fantastic. I mean, it doesn't matter what you throw him in. He's gonna.
He's phenomenal.
And it's gonna be fantastic.
He is fantastic, and I think he's got to win. I feel like we're gonna see his name.
He's
in there
he's gonna get
almost year
a lot
over
more
year.
Times.
Is this one of those movies, Bob, similar to
where the vote gets split a little bit?
Yeah, where you got Jonah Hill and Jared Leto kind of.
I don't think so.
Not this
I think
one.
It's all it's all Leto. It's no. all. And I think when we go moving into the leading role, I think it's the same thing. All Dallas Buyers Club on this one.
Yeah,
you have Christian Bale for American Hustle, which was fantastic, by the way. His role, Bruce Dorn for Nebraska, Leonardo DiCaprio, Wolf of Wall Street, completely different DiCaprio than we've ever seen. Here we go. Chiwetel Ejiofor.
Ejiofor
for 12 Years a Slave. And then Matthew McConaughey for Dallas Buyers Club. I'm going to finally – this is what I'm looking forward to Tyler. I'm going to say, you remember that actor that you guys give me crap for liking? Now he's won an Academy Award, Matthew McConaughey.
We don't give you crap for liking Matthew McConaughey. We like Matthew McConaughey.
Yes.
We give you crap for liking Matthew McConaughey in really shitty movies.
Right. If you mention Fool's
like
Goal,
Fool's Gold, for love of God.
I'm coming across the table, and I'm choking you out. That's what's going
to Your
happen.
Love of things like Failure to Launch and Fool's Gold makes us all the same.
Right.
All right. So who's winning best actor?
McConaughey. Okay, so
all right.
Are you gonna go again? Are you gonna vote against the main?
I am. I'm gonna go with Chilty Ejiofor just because I really like him and I think his performance was really good in that. I'm gonna tell you right now, just because of the Academy, I would not be surprised if Bruce Dern wins.
That's true.
Because Bruce Dern is fantastic in it, and he is a journeyman actor who's been in this business for the better part of half a century.
This would be his
Scorsese
Departed.
This would be his Henry Fonda on Golden Pond Awards.
Yes.
Yeah. This is his. You know what, Bruce Dern? Here you go.
We kind of owe you some.
Because I mean, Bruce Dern is also one of those guys. You say the name, and people are like, huh? And then you show them the picture of him. Like, oh shit, yeah, that guy who's in everything and is usually really good. He spent a lot of his career as a character actor. He hasn't really been that leading guy for the last, 10, 15 mm-hmm. years. He's always been good, and he's fantastic in this movie. Just fantastic. But I'm going to go with Ejiofor.
Okay.
Okay, American Hustle. It's lost a lot of steam, but I still think that the best actor in that entire film was Christian Bale.
Yeah, but he wasn't better than...
He was better. He was the best.
We've just named three other actors who were better in their movies than
Christian
anybody
Bale was,
in American
Christian
Hustle.
Bale was by far the best actor in American Hustle.
Yeah.
That's not even Christian Bale's best performance in his career.
I think it was...
It's the
so
fifth
amazing.
Best performance on this list, even.
You know
it's
what?
I'm sorry. Like,
I'm
over DiCaprio, over... I mean,
he's,
it's...
He's on the list. So
yeah, that's
I'm
true. And he's worthy of being on that list. All right, Bob.
Okay.
I honestly think Christian Bale should win.
All right, Bob.
If there was ever going to be a split, this
is the year.
Is
yeah.
the category.
Yeah.
He's got a speech prepared. Hold on. He's getting out another piece
of paper.
This
is the category. Bruce Dern, DiCaprio, Ejiofor, McConaughey, Bale, any one of them can win this category. Because, like I said, you're going to split, and the person who's going to win this category is not going to get 50%. I think... of the votes. I think the winner is probably going to get 25% of the votes on this. I really think it's going to be McConaughey, but I will not be surprised if Ejiofor gets in there, and I would not be surprised if DiCaprio takes it. Because,
I wouldn't be surprised
like I said,
either, but
that
and like they I'm not and I'm
people
not
on the Academy
this,
are loving that movie.
This is I'm not doing this to come down on Aaron. Although that is a happy bonus. That's a happy accident. I would not be surprised if anyone on this list won except for Christian Bale.
But you know what?
And not
no,
to take
I agree
away
with
from
you.
That performance. Like, he's fantastic in that movie, but those other four performances are
that's
stellar.
But the crazy thing is Bale knocked out Tom Hanks. He knocked out Robert Redford. who
thank you for yelling
all
into
those
the mic.
Those two gave phenomenal performances. And so, like I said, this is a year where the actor...
Robert Redford was
actor,
good in The Horse Whisperer. No.
He was. This is a year that literally anyone could win it. I will not be surprised if somebody else wins it, but I think McConaughey's got
the
it.
Dallas Buyers Club has been sweeping the Mel Awards from the gig, and I don't think it's going to change here. And I agree with you. I agree with everybody here. Tyler, you just said it best, too. It's exactly what I was saying, Aaron, is that there's... Four people, and even the offshot that Bale does win, nobody would be like, well, he didn't deserve to win for his performance. But
I think that's the other four. He's the only person who, I'm not saying that he can't win. I'm saying he's the only person who could win, where afterwards I'd be like, I'm surprised.
I look at this category. Remember, I can't remember how many years ago, Daniel Day-Lewis and Gangs in New York, and who ended up winning? Adrian Brody for The Pianist.
Wait. Daniel Day-Lewis lost?
Yeah.
I must have blocked this out of my memory.
You did block it out. You know why you blocked it out?
Because it was Gangs of New York that lost. It was the same year that Gangs of New York lost Best Picture also.
Yeah.
To
I mean, nobody expected
to one of
Brody
your favorites,
man.
Right?
And no, that was the year before. You're mad at Shakespeare in Love because it beat out, Saving Private Ryan.
And didn't L.A. Confidential wasn't?
Not that year.
Was that year? I don't know.
Anyways, before we get off on that, let's go to the big one, which if we're talking splits, we're talking about muddied waters, I guess. This is probably the most to where I don't think since they've expanded the list past five, there's never been a year where I've looked at all nine and said, any one of these could end up on stage.
We need a nine-sided die.
Yeah,
I honestly think, I mean, ever since they've expanded it to 10, there's been times where there was more than five that you think had a choice.
Yeah.
But as a general rule, I think if more than five get nominated, you look at the best director category, it's going to be one of those.
Yeah. Right.
There's not going to be a movie on this list that's not on the best director
category.
Let's
go down it. So American Hustle, Captain Phillips, Dallas Buyers Club, Gravity, Her, Nebraska, Philomena, 12 Years a Slave, The Wolf of Wall Street. So right off the bat, I think we could probably all agree that Philomena, Captain Phillips, and probably even Her are not going to win.
Probably not.
I'd agree.
But the other six, could. I mean, and honestly, those three, if one of those three won, like, it wouldn't be like this, that was ridiculous.
Right.
But, it would be, but.
Well, yeah, but it's, the other six, like, I feel like it could be anybody. And, let's all pick. Bob already gave me the speech on Friday. He rehearsed it of who's going to win and why. So we'll let him close the finale with it. So Tyler, who's winning Best Picture? I'm letting you open us up right here.
I really do not know.
that's about how I feel.
I'm going to go just because of all the ones that are on this list that I have seen. It's tough. I'm going to go with American Hustle.
All right. Adam?
That's where I was leaning, in American Hustle.
Really? All right.
Yeah.
Aaron?
I mean, even though this isn't actually my favorite of the movies, I'm going to go with Wolf of Wall Street because I think it's
for best picture. Really?
I do.
Okay. That's a dark horse pick. My, like when I look at it, I have three favorites on this list. I enjoyed many of them, but my three favorites are The Wolf of Wall Street, Dallas Buyers Club, and Gravity. I think, like I said earlier, The Wolf of Wall Street has picked up some steam, but I think because it had a slow start because of the negative air around it, that it was already a step behind these other movies. And I don't think when you and Tyler mentioned it great. You look at screenplays, you look at directors' awards here with this. This isn't even this is far from Scorsese's best work. It's an amazing movie. I love The Wolf of Wall Street. Top five of the year for me.
Departed.
But it's not even it's not the best he's done. Dallas Buyers Club, absolutely fantastic. I think I would want that to win any other year, except for Gravity is my pick. It's been my favorite movie of the year. It's stuck through when I've seen all the rest of these, because I saw Gravity before I saw any of these other ones. I like it. I want it to win just for the pure that it's a different sci-fi type movie. It'd be awesome to win. So, and I think it has the steam, and I'll let Bob explain why.
Okay. and I'm good. I'll say it start off the bat. I'm going with Gravity. The reason I'm going with Gravity is there are several different reasons. Number one, and I tried to explain it a couple of weeks ago, but it didn't come out really right. Your largest voting block in the Academy is your technical people, art directors, cinematographers, all that kind of stuff. They're going to vote for the technical aspect when they look at Best Picture. I think their vote's going to go Gravity. Your actors or your smaller groups, and when you look at the nominees, there are only three films that could win. Hustle, 12 Years a Slave, and Gravity. American Hustle, people like. 12 Years a Slave, people respect. Gravity, people love that movie. They love it.
I feel like we need to give them a standing ovation right now.
Reasonable. That's a really good breakdown.
I kind of want to vote for Gravity.
Sticking with American Hustle.
I really want to vote for Nebraska.
12, but, cool but yeah, one, but 12 Years a Slave is such a hard movie to watch, and I don't think Academy voters are going to take their screener and bring their family together. Hey, let's all sit down and watch 12 Years a Slave. Several years ago when Brokeback Mountain came out against Crash, there was an article where they interviewed Ernest Borgnine. He says, I'm not going to watch Brokeback Mountain. That's too hard of a film to watch. And he is he was one of the Academy voters. I think it's going to be the same thing. I don't think they're going to vote 12 Years a Slave. I just think that's going to be a hard film for them to watch. American Hustle has lost so much momentum.
And it had it early.
It really did.
I don't feel confident in my pick. That's where I'm at.
Yeah. I think Gravity has won. It tied on the Producers Guild. It won the Directors Guild. It won the Cinematographers Guild. It won the British Film of the Year last week at the BAFTAs.
So did The Act of Killing for documentary.
Shut up. But here's why I'm thinking 12 Years a Slave is not going to win. In every award since the Golden Globes, it has lost every award leading up to that Best Picture. It is like clung to the possibility of it winning, and it won Best Picture, even though it won nothing else. I think its momentum is gone. I think Gravity's picked it up, and I think Gravity's going to win it.
All I have to say is well said, Bob. I think
a really good breakdown.
I think when you really look at it too, look at those three movies. Makes sense that those would be the three favorite in this, and the way you described it makes a lot of sense. However, once again, I think as we open it up, and I think most of us agreed, is if another movie compared to what we picked took it, it wouldn't be an overall shock.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, I don't mean
it wouldn't be a disappointing shock.
There's nothing disappointing about this.
I think the only movies on this list that if they won, I would be like, eh. I don't think Captain Phillips has a shot.
No, I don't even think it should be on here.
Philomena, I think, just came a little too late.
Just that small British little movie.
I've heard nothing but great things about it. I really want to see it. I like everyone who's in it. But Captain Phillips, I think Philomena are the two that you can toss out and say, like, those aren't going to get voted for. But American Hustle, Buyers Club, Gravity, Her, Nebraska, 12 Years Sleep, I think any of those could win. Mm-hmm. No problem.
All I have to ask is really, Academy, you left This Is the End off the Best Picture list?
Seriously, though, I am surprised that Lilo and Davis got left off.
That was a shocker.
The fact that they can do up to 10 now. It could have been on there. I really think Lilo and Davis is the only Best Picture, like, since they've expanded to 10. Because usually, since they've expanded to 10, I feel like movies have made the list. Or like, really? That shouldn't even...
How is that?
It was the same a few years ago.
And this is the first time since they've expanded where I was like, there is a movie that should be on there and isn't.
Are you sure it's the first time? Because I think we might both agree with this. They only put 9 up that year and left Ides of March off as the 10th one.
God, I did love Ides of March.
And Ides of March was definitely worth being on that list.
Ides of March still might be my favorite movie from that year, honestly.
There's a lot of good movies. The Descendants, right? Or The Descendants was nominated. I'm sorry. Was that The Artist that year?
I think so.
It's possible.
There's 2 years right there that are really...
Descendants
like,
was really good.
There's
Darcy
a bunch of good ones right together.
Yeah. Ides of March, I think... Now that I think back on it, I think that was my favorite movie that year. I don't know. That whole political thriller thing doesn't play for everyone, but I loved everything about it.
All right. So we got our nominees in for most categories. And what some people might find a rather exciting... No, it was an okay episode. No.
By the way, he looked at me when he said exciting.
So, well, no, it's time to close. Actually, we've ran our course of time tonight. As usual, I will say in closing,
at least we're not 4 hours long. Academy Awards.
We're not running too far over our time. No music needed here to close this, I guess.
I feel like we should talk more about Guardians of the Galaxy.
We should. We should dedicate a whole episode to just that.
I feel like we will talk about it every week. It comes out.
We got till August.
I was going to talk about them tonight. But I guess I'll hold on till next time.
Until next week.
But if anyone gets a chance, not often do I talk about books on here because I know that no one else in this room reads that often.
Whatever.
Hey, I've read 4 books this year. Come on.
Not a kid.
High five. All Harry Dresden?
No, I've finished Ender's Game and then the 3 Harry.
All right, I'm losing you guys. I'm losing
The Martian by Andy Weir. Get a chance, pick it up. Hard sci-fi, really impressive. And then Red Rising, debut novel by Pierce Brown. It's going to be the first novel in a trilogy. And
we'll go into these more next week, kids.
I'm just saying, like, it's been compared to, like, Hunger Games meets Ender's Game, but I think that does it a disservice. But if that gets you interested, you should read it. Two of the books I've read in the last month, and they were both fantastic.
Two things for you, Tyler. Yeah. One, how many books you at? Because you are on a – you're supposed to read one a week.
I think I'm going to blow through my goal now that I've actually started – because there's a lot of books that I wanted to read that have come out so far this year.
So how many are we at?
Right now
– how many weeks – are we, what, 9 weeks, 8 weeks in?
8.
11 books so far, and I'm starting another one.
That's pretty good.
I just started another one last night.
Green Eggs and Ham doesn't count.
No. And then I do know that for at least a week to week and a half, I'll be tied up because Brandon Sanderson's the second book in the what is the name of the series?
The
Stormlight Archives. Brandon Sanderson, people know he wrote the Mistborn trilogy. He was the guy who was picked to finish The Wheel of Time after Robert Jordan died. He's also written a number of other books that people – Steelheart – Warbreaker, a lot of other stuff. Really good guy. He started an epic fantasy series about a year ago called the Stormlight Archives. The first book, I'm just putting it this way, it's going to be 10 books eventually. The first book was well over 1,200 pages long.
Good lord.
The second one's going to be probably about that thick, so I need to get a little backlog going, because once I sit down and start that book, that's going to be a good two-week process.
Okay, item number two is not a question, but it is a trend. For anybody who listens to our episode will notice that I always start a close, and then Tyler goes into something else, and then I have to restart a close for the show. Every episode, I'm just saying.
I started that I wanted to throw those two books out, and I needed to get them in. We can talk about them more next week.
We'll focus a little bit. We got more randomness next week. We won't spend too much time on the Oscars, unless we're blown away by some winning. Philomena walks away with the best picture, then maybe we'll invest some more time. However, we'll wrap, of course, like we've said the last couple times. Please give us your feedback. You can hit us up on Facebook at Project Nerd. You can hit us up on Twitter. Facebook's Project/Project Nerd blog. Twitter's /Project Nerd. Hit us up. Let us know what you want to hear on the Nerdcast. Of course, you can comment on our posts. Also, feel free to listen to any of our other podcasts we now have on Project Nerd Productions. We have now introduced, the MovieCast that we all participate in. There's Who's That Pokey Pod from our friends up north, the United States of Geekdom now from our friends down south, and then by the time this airs this week, we will also have the Nerd Bay, more friends up north, actually not too far away from Who's That Pokey Pod, who will also be joining Project Nerd Productions, and then of course we will start our Gamecast, our Twitch TV experience. So give any of us feedback on the Project Nerd Productions page or our individual posts, and let us know what you want to hear, see, whatever from us, and we'll be happy to pretend to oblige, I guess. I don't know if we really will, but...
Sure we will.
Obviously, this isn't going up until, Friday?
Yes.
But in that 48 hours you get from Friday, if you want to go onto the Facebook page, throw up your nominations.
There you go.
For
your picks, and if you can beat... Honestly, you're probably going to beat most of. If you can beat Bob, we're going to send you the certificate for his donuts.
There you go. Perfect.
You want to make it to Manhattan, there'll be actual real
delicious,
life
good
bar Steve
donuts.
Right. Mm-hmm. If not, we can probably get you a Dunkin' Donuts gift card or something.
Perfect. Awesome. All right. Well, signing out for the Nerdcast crew, this is Ziggy, and we'll catch you next week.